If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon in for Justin Kaufman on the download. And we're joined by Monica Birchfield, the Assistant Executive Director of Development for the Salvation Army. Monica, thank you. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We got to ask, did you take an Uber or a cab here by any chance or no?
I did not.
Okay.
And was there anything weird in it?
I have never actually done any of the pool vehicles. Mm-hmm. That creeps me out.
And really?
Listening while I was waiting in the green room creeps me out further. So I will only be doing it by myself.
Yeah, do it by yourself. Job. You don't have to find anything else. Yep, that's what we've been trying to do. Bring down Uber pool. So it's the end of the holiday season, or it's wrapping up the holiday season, of course. And, you know, it's the day after Christmas or Boxing Day. And those red kettles that we see, of course, every year that we love, the ringers, putting in the money, the gold coins, all that sort of stuff. Is that operation now over?
So we accept gifts all year round.
Right.
But you will see the kettles have officially been taken down. They are, we only run them basically right around Thanksgiving through, the day Christmas Eve. And this year Christmas Eve was Sunday, so we actually stopped ringing on Saturday.
And how did it go this year?
It could have been better. Not gonna lie. It could have been better. I think between the cold, the shorter season, while yes, nationally we raised probably $150 million.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of change. Locally, our goal is about just under three. And so we're a little bit short of that still. So we've got a couple more days left in the season. So before January 31st, your gifts are still tax deductible. So we've got time.
I wonder, you mentioned the weather. Is this still an ongoing byproduct? And maybe you have some ideas for how you're combating this. I mean, less and less every single year, I have less and less dollars on me. I have less and less change. There's now Apple Pay. There's all sorts of ways for us not to carry money around. Because I'd see the bells and I'd look and I'd be like, I don't have anything.
Right. You have to plan for it.
So how do you guys are going to combat that over the next 5 or 10 years?
So that's awesome. Awesome that you ask that. Actually, we have been quietly working with a partner to test some things. And so it's still in the hush-hush phases, but next year we're hoping to go live with some really – it's going to revolutionize the way that we raise money.
Mm-hmm.
The Salvation Army, I guess, if you think about it, we've been raising money through kettles for a little over 150 years. So it was revolutionary 150 years ago to put a kettle out. And then it was revolutionary again in the early 1900s. I'm sorry, my staff will be upset. It's 127 years of kettles.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, the bell was not introduced until the early 1900s in New York. And that was just to catch people's attention in the busy city streets. So we really haven't done anything monumental when it comes to accepting money at the kettle since then. And so we've explored different things like there's a text to give option at some sites. There's always an online option, but who's going to remember redkettlereason.org? But there are other options. But the one that we're exploring, I think, is going to be worth the wait.
That's really cool.
I can come back when I'm allowed to talk about
it. Because there is something tangible. It is easy to say, I'll give online later or I'll text us in. But we still, I think there needs to be that point of sale, even though it's not a point of sale, but that transaction in the moment to see, I gave this. The person says, thank you. There is something to that that is still wonderful hopefully that you guys will be able to replicate in whatever you're able to do. Whenever you're able to tell us.
I'm no longer allowed to talk about this. But yes, it will be, it will, the user experience is something that has been very well thought out in this, in what they're proposing. And so I'm excited about it.
Cool.
I think it's time. It's just time. Because I think we're seeing over time, there have been negligible drops in income nationally from kettles. But I mean, it's still astounding to think about the multiple millions of dollars that people that don't carry change are giving us. And then when you read, I read a lot, but there's an article I read about how in general, the cash economy hasn't gone away. It's just probably 20 to 30% or 20 to 23%, I think I read, of people who still conduct their business in cash. And so some of it, I think, is generational. If you walk by a kettle and you're, you know, I hear all these stories that are generally older people telling me about their parents and grandparents teaching them about philanthropy through the kettles, right? So you walk by a kettle, you ask your mom or dad, like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Your parents take a minute and explain to you, this is what happens. And I think as an organization, we're doing what we can to make sure people know what happens when you put that dollar in the kettle.
Well, that's a great place to go from here, because really, and this is embarrassing. I know, of course, I know what the Salvation Army is. I know that you exist. I know I could draw the logo for you. I know the colors. I know everything.
Yep.
What is it that you guys do? Because it is a really complex network of help for people.
It is. We do a lot. Like when I started the Army, it was about a couple years ago, and I feel like every day I learn a new program. So we have over 50 programs that are offered all over the Chicago area. One of the beauty, I guess, of the Army as an organization is that we're set up to go into any community we're invited into and take a look around and say, okay, you need job training, so we're going to offer that. You need feeding programs, or you need shelters.
So it's very individual.
It can be, yeah. So by zip code, we go in and say, these are our service zip codes, and so each community center can have slightly different and customizable programs if you think about it that way. So it's a lot of people will associate it with feeding and shelter, because mm-hmm. those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there's substance abuse rehabilitation programs. There are thrift stores, which are actually work therapy programs. There are job training programs. There are, you know, what they used to call halfway houses. Now they're federal penitentiary release programs. Mm-hmm. So literally, and those are just what we have here in Chicago. So there's the dollar or $5 or whatever you give is going to turn either into a meal. It's going to turn into a present for a child. It's going to turn into a warm coat, school supplies, like any number of counseling services that people in our communities and backyards need.
Seems pretty top to bottom and comprehensive. That's the thing that I think is very interesting. That you think food and shelter, and while those are of course important needs, basic and ones that are empowering and make people survive, those job trainings, the rehabilitation programs, it's about getting people not just a meal for a night, not warm for one night, but getting them out of system of poverty.
Yes, the idea, there's a program we have called the Pathway of Hope that is taking over sort of. Not taking over, but it is, it's a comprehensive view. So if you think about that holistic view or continuum where you meet the client where they are, the program starts usually, I think, 6 to 18 months for a family. They will go in, they will have a case manager that's dedicated that will say, okay, what do you need? What can we help you with? It could be, I need, you know, my child has special needs in school and I need help advocating because I didn't graduate high school myself. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, a family that, you know, that somehow they've lost their job or something has happened. And so they'll say, okay, you need to brush up on your skills or resume or interviewing or whatever. So they kind of approach it as that wraparound to say it's not a handout, but a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what we do is focusing on meeting needs with dignity. And it's, you know, like the Angel Tree program that we have for Christmas. We've probably thousands and thousands of families celebrated Christmas. And in some cases, you know, we have donors who will be like, but I want to see that kid open that present, or I want that direct connection.
Well, that moment.
But then we have to explain, well, sometimes that donor, you know, or that family may not want their family child to know that that's where the present came from. And that's okay. You are being an angel. That's why we call it Angel Tree. So
we actually had a texter text in an interesting question. You mentioned that any community that invites you. So if they do program by zip codes or by towns, or that, who actually calls it? What organization? Is it an organization that calls you? Is it the mayor of a town invites you to help on? How does that work, that process of finding communities?
That's a really good question. I think over time we have established community centers in different areas of need. And so I'm pretty sure we worked with the city. A lot of our facilities that are in existence today, there are over 16 of them across Chicago itself. They've been there a longer time than I've been alive in most cases, except for there's a handful. The Freedom Center on the west side in Christiana in Chicago, that one is probably less than 5 years old. But in general, we work with different city officials. When you think about the suburbs, we may not have a physical building, but we'll have a network that we call our service extension.
Mm-hmm.
And our service extension units basically partner with Catholic Charities, will partner with Loaves and Fishes in Naperville or whoever. We'll partner with anybody from city municipalities to other nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So to get help to people that need it.
And aside from the donations, is there volunteer opportunities?
Absolutely. Actually, we enjoy having bell ringers as volunteers, mm-hmm. and that's a big push for us. Throughout the year, we'll have things like Christmas feeding and Thanksgiving feeding. Like, we put together over 10,000 food boxes, and volunteers helped us do that. You can volunteer at after school programs. You can volunteer in our music programs. Like, there's literally something for everyone. We have committees for those who are, you know, maybe not looking for direct service, but instead want to serve on a junior board. We have a junior board. So, and then we have a governing, or not a governing board, but an advisory board as well. So there are plenty of opportunities from, you know, mobile outreach and serving meals to helping us do what we do better.
I have a question for you before we go to break. This is a strange one, but I thought about it as your hat was falling off.
Yeah.
your red Salvation hat that you struggled to put on. You're also wearing a shade of red shirt. Mm-hmm. Your glasses have red down the side of them. So I got to ask, if we go to your closet at home, are you loaded up? Are you only allowed to wear red at work?
No.
Or do you just happen to love the color?
I like the color. My favorite color is actually orange. I'm a U of I alum.
Hey, ILO.
I.
There you go, girl.
So I actually have more orange than I have red.
Okay.
And so it's slowly tipping. Mm-hmm. Actually, my entire team makes fun of me for all the orange I generally wear.
So we caught you on a red day.
Yes.
Okay.
Red day.
Supporting the Salvation Army. Of course, exactly. Okay, you can stick around for a little bit. Monica Moore with Monica Birchfield and the Salvation Army. I got a question about the gold coins and a couple other things coming up here on 720 WGN. Nothing like Beastie Boys to bring us back in to talk about the Salvation Army. This was actually Monica Birchfield's. This was your pick. This was your request, right?
It totally is.
This is exactly what you wanted to hear as we come back from break. 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman is off. The download, it's the wonderful Esmeralda Leon with a very cute, I love your panda scarf.
Thank you.
You rock it every time. Not every time on the air, but you know, you rock it fairly often.
Yes, they're always with me.
Yeah, they are. The Salvation Army is always with you.
Oh,
you like that transition there, Monica Birchfield?
That was lovely.
Yeah. I want to ask about the gold coins because that's always a great story. Mm. So elaborate a little bit. Do people literally, in a kettle, they will just drop some gold in there?
And they're sneaky about it.
Is it a coin or is it like a nugget or like what is it?
They are legitimate gold coins that you would get. I saw a picture of some from the other day that were like issued by a bank or whatever. But yeah, they're just gold coins that some people either go and purchase for the purpose of dropping or have collected over time.
Those are huge in terms of donations.
Yeah. Well, the ounce, an ounce of gold is what, 1,200 and something? So it's whatever the price of the ounce is that we are able to sell it for. So that gold coin literally turns into a program.
How many did you guys collect this year?
The last count I got was 11. But
in Chicago or in the whole country?
No, that's just Chicago.
Okay.
There was a kettle out in Portland, I want to say, that somebody put in $10,000, like cash.
Wow. Cash?
Cash.
That would scare me so much.
I saw the picture and I had a little bit of a panic attack myself. Yeah. But around here we've got about 11. I think the first gold coin they say that started showing up was about 25 years ago here in Chicago. So we've collected probably over 500 since then.
Wow.
But yeah, we collect them all the officers are the people who run the community centers, and so they will collect them, keep them, and then we bring them in and then they exchange them.
How many bitcoins have you gotten?
It's
for next year.
That's next year. That's part of the super secret. We are probably not going to be ready to collect Bitcoin.
You know what's interesting though? I actually did a story about some nonprofits getting into the Bitcoin game, which scares me. It's crazy, but it's also about the technology underneath the Bitcoin stuff. So.
Right. And so I think that while as an organization, if I can toot my own horn, we're incredible in that we're huge. We're four separate territories. In just the U.S. And so I think if there is a capability to do it, we will have it. It's just we're not there yet.
Not quite there yet. Yeah. It's a little up and
that
down
would,
for
that
now.
That would, yeah. Like, hey, here's my hard drive. Let me drop that into the kettle.
Oh, my. Exactly. You also said that they've dropped in other things aside from just cash and gold coins.
Yes. I actually had a former coworker when I left my previous job to go to the Salvation Army. She was the one who first told me, but I'd heard about this. That people will drop engagement rings or they'll drop jewelry or
is there a point of view where you wonder if that's an accident? Like they were dropping in a nickel
this
and they're
year,
like, did the ring slip in?
Well, then they usually, we have a phone number for that.
Okay.
So yeah, this year there actually was someone in the south suburbs, I think, that accidentally had dropped an actual ring.
Right.
because some of the kettles get full and you're trying to push the cash in.
But an engagement ring. I mean, that's, I want to know so much more.
That's the ultimate, like, I'm done with you.
But what a great
way to do
it.
I'm going to turn this into something good.
Yeah.
Like, here it goes.
So any new divorcees out there, the Salvation Army is looking for you, everybody.
Drop those rings.
Drop those rings in there. The more expensive, the better. Tell us your breakup story. All right. So you guys have had such a busy holiday season. You're still reaching the goal to January 31st. And the deadline for making it a tax-deductible donation?
December 31st.
December 31st.
And so, with all the drama with taxes and whatever this year.
Yeah.
Talk to your tax advisor, but this might be a good year to do it.
How challenging is it to carry the message forward and to get donations as January turns to February, turns to March, when people's minds aren't on this anymore?
Sure. I think, like we were kind of talking about during the break, that, you know, universities and museums and some of these bigger institutions that have a much more, what's the word I'm looking for? A more established donor base, let's say. I think the Salvation Army, while we are very, very lucky that we have some very established donors and some people who care incredibly about the work that we do, it ends up being at Christmas is when you think about it. Thanksgiving, you're with your family, and you're thinking about how grateful you are, and then you start thinking about what you have to share and so on. So throughout the year, we try to engage our donors. We have a direct mail program, which is similar to most large organizations. You'll get pieces of mail, and if anyone at home has a problem with their mail, call me, because I'm the one you can worry about that here in Chicago.
You'll deliver it personally.
I will deliver it personally. I will fix your records to make sure you get what you want. Mm-hmm. So we do, we reach out through mail, we reach out with email, we're getting better at getting more customized with telling our story. We want to make sure that we keep in touch with people. We have events, but it's, what's interesting about, at least at the Army, is that we can't be too fancy.
Right.
And so we are very mindful of the dollars that we spend to raise money, because 88 cents of every dollar here in Chicago of a gift that goes to the Army goes directly back to program. And that's one of the most efficient fundraising numbers of any organization I've worked for. So,
and that's a big number, because not only because obviously that's what you want to do as the organization,
right?
But man, some people are so quick to be so critical of any organization that number slips for legitimate or maybe nefarious reasons. But man, that's like that first number they look at.
Right. 88 cents on that dollar. Yes, it is. It is. We are very proud of that and do what we can. I actually get to build some of the fundraising budget. And so I can personally tell you, if you want to talk about it, you can call me.
man, you're really putting yourself out there today.
I'm just saying. It's
are you bored? Are you?
It gets quiet this time of year, because now it's just a lot of reporting and recording.
Right.
So throughout the rest of the year, though, we have an event in the spring. Tom Rickert's coming be our civic luncheon speaker. So we have a luncheon event at the Hilton on May 9th, which will highlight kind of our programs and highlight the Ricketts' commitment to making Chicago a better place for those less fortunate than themselves. So we're excited about that. In the meantime, we're opening the first of its kind, from what I understand, in the country, homeless facility, emergency homeless center for families. So right now, if you're a homeless family, you show up, you can call 311, and you would go to, there are a couple city facilities that are around. They're not family friendly, I would call them.
Right.
They're kind of
they're a tough place for a family to go.
Right. And you have just, generally you separate families, and because you have to take the men away from the kids and sometimes older kids, and it's not ideal. So the city of Chicago has we've been working on this for a little while. They came to us and said, what do you think about this? And we're like, because we're a church, we're going to go pray about it. So our leadership took some time, thought about it, and then we got this incredible estate gift from a man anonymously who wanted to help veterans, wanted to help the homeless, wanted to help children and the elderly. And so this kind of facility came about because we can do all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be part of that Freedom Center campus, that new building that's going over near Christiana in Chicago. So a family will come in, and I guess when we were designing it and stuff, they said we were making it too nice because they're never going to want to leave. But because the idea is short-term care, rapid response, 7 to 10 days, and we need to find a place for you, whether it's transitional housing, diversion housing to family elsewhere, an apartment, if it's just like a a lapse in funding or something. So we have different pots of money that we can use for things like that. And we want to help keep families together. And so this facility will have 72 beds, I think.
Wow.
And we'll have about 20 families a night we can take care of.
And that's that's something that's happening to me. That's like a tangible thing that you can put your fingers on when you know you're dropping those coins or making those donations online, that that's a tangible thing. Someone's getting help that night when they absolutely need it.
Right.
How can people help if they want more information, want to make a donation? Where can they go?
Just email me and talk about our budget.
You had all the secrets.
I do. If they wanted to help right now, you can visit salarmychicago.org. You can click around and find all kinds of things about what we're up to. There's a whole holiday page.
Mm-hmm.
Making a gift would be the easiest way to make a difference today. Pretty much when you put money in a kettle, that money goes directly into that community. When you make a gift online, we have this whole fabulous table of technology behind it that lets us know where to send that gift. And we make sure it goes to use in your community. So we are really big on giving where you live. And so if there's a need, we'll figure out a way to find a way to help.
Well, that's certainly in the holiday spirit, certainly.
Yeah, definitely.
Monica Birchfield, Assistant Executive Director of Development for the Salvation Army. And she said that was a shorter title than a real title. So thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thanks.
Put that hat back on. You're going to need it.
I am.
Have a safe trip back at home.
Thanks.
All right. Okay. We are up against the news time right now. Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It's 9:32, and we go to Mr. Rob Martier.
Hey.
I love gorillas. 720 WGN. That's the name of the band. That was kind of a random statement if you didn't know
what
they were called, gorillas. I just said, I love gorillas out of the break. I love this band, gorillas.
If no one knew.
Yes, if no one knew that this
just
was the
you
name
yelling
of the
out, band. I love animals.
I like this animal. 720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman. Join the conversation, 312-981-7200, via text or talking, whatever you want to talk about. We will chat with it here on the air. Let's tease one of the segments for tomorrow,
because
this is really cool.
We're going to be talking to one of the representatives for this app called Givling, which is essentially a trivia game. So when you download it, it's a trivia game that you play, and it's fun.
Trivia Crack was a game for a
essentially,
while?
Essentially, yeah. Okay. So you gain all these points, and what happens is then you watch advertisements, and those advertisements pay for ways to pay off people's student loans and mortgages, home mortgages. And you can actually, by you playing, you gain points, where then they throw you kind of in a big lottery, where then you too can maybe get your loan or a mortgage paid off.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? And it's just a way to, because student loan debt is, it's a huge issue nowadays.
Curtis, you got a lot of them.
Oh, he's yes. What is the address of that? But they've done a few now, but, they're trying to get more people onto this trivia game.
That's interesting.
It's kind of like
pay off more debt.
It sounds like, have you guys heard of a Trivia HQ?
No.
It's a new trivia app. Basically, it's twice a day, and it's live. So you get a notification when they're going live, so you can join in, and you actually have the chance to actually win cash.
Oh, wow.
And you join in, and I was in earlier today, and there was 600,000 people.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's 12 questions. It ranges from easy to hard, and if you make it to the 12th question and you win, you have to split it with whoever else won it. So if it's a $1,000 thing, and it's, it's 100, or it's maybe 10 people or
it's $100 a person.
Yeah, you split it amongst that group of people.
That's so cool.
So
have you ever won?
No. I you know what? It's funny that our apps have had a glitch recently. So I made it to the 11th question, and I wasn't able to read the question because it popped up and I had 2 seconds left to answer. So I wasn't able to make it to the 12th question and final question. But that's the farthest I made. It was to the 11th question. So I was proud of myself for making it that far.
That's incredible.
It's pretty fun. They do, I said, easier questions. So for example, which state borders Kentucky? And it's Ohio, Montana, or New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to answer it real quick. And you've only got, I think, 10 seconds to answer but it's really quick. And so once you get the question right, you move on to the next one. But once, if you get it wrong, you get cut off and you can't.
It's twice a day then you do this live?
It's usually once in the morning or early afternoon and then once in the evening. It's called Trivia HQ.
Does it just push as a notification to let you know when it's going live?
Yeah, it'll but it'll usually come up. I know, like, for Christmas, it's like Yuletide or season's greetings, and you know, join in and try to win some money. I know for Christmas it was like $1,200 prize.
Wow!
Like, oh, that. Goodness!
Do you watch like an app too and all that stuff,
it's
or
a lot.
Advertisement? I mean, do you watch an advertisement?
No, there's no ads. Usually, you just wait for the app to start up because it's like a live trivia
yeah.
show. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy based in wherever their location headquarters is, and he actually like can see the and usually the chat's just blowing up, so he'll call out a few people. And,
oh my gosh! It's like
really
a video
cool.
you're watching.
Yes,
this person?
You're watching like a live thing of a guy on your phone. So it's again called Trivia HQ for those of you out there who want to get.
I want to do this live on the show one day.
He's like, I want to make some money.
Yeah. Heck
this,
yes.
Well, with this one, they're helping out people with student loans.
Yeah.
But so far, they paid off 10.
10 people's
10
entire
people's
student loans.
10 student loans. And some are, you know, big money.
Ones.
50,000.
Can I be number 11?
Yeah.
Please.
If you answer these 12 questions, you can
yeah.
maybe get it. That's really fascinating. So we're going to talk with them tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to talk to them tomorrow about
That'll
that.
That'll be really, really mm-hmm. cool. Okay, so the new year is, man, coming upon us, it's 2017. Do you do that thing every
days?
Year? I don't know, like five more, six more? It's 26?
Yeah, it's on, I mean, Sunday night yeah. is the last, or Sunday.
Every year I do this thing where I go, oh my God, 2018. It sounds like it's the future. Because it does. It's crazy.
Do you, like, literally, like, you think it's going to be crazy futuristic?
No. I don't think all of a sudden there's going to be flying cars. I just, the year just seems absurd to me. Like, if you would have told me 2018, I mean, like, that just, like, we were talking about earlier, it's like 1997 doesn't feel like that long ago.
Yeah, I think it was a few years ago.
Right.
Like 30.
Yeah, 20, but.
Oh. See, I don't
21
have
years
time.
Since 1997.
I did not sign up to do math.
So we want to open up the discussion about New Year's and whether you are into the whole idea of like, you know, resolutions, new rebirth, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you go out on New Year's and celebrate? Do you try and get a kiss on New Year's Eve? Is that a big thing for you, Esmeralda, getting the New Year's Eve
getting
kiss?
Getting a kiss? I think it, you know what, with the whole thing, there's just all these emotions.
Yeah.
And then a kiss is like, aw.
It's sweet.
A kiss.
That's nice.
And it's just, you know, hugs. Cheek kisses. That whole thing is always very
like with everyone. You kiss everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's something about when that clock
that magic.
Strikes midnight.
Yeah, it's the champagne. You're hammered.
It's okay.
Usually
yep.
that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the bubbly.
Yeah.
Curtis, are you big into the midnight kiss?
Well, I haven't been in a relationship. Actually, I've just recently gotten in a new relationship.
Ooh,
so
how recent?
As of like a month and a half ago.
Okay.
So,
this is interesting.
Well, the only thing, though, is that I'm working here New Year's Eve. I'm here from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah, well, you bring him on in.
You bring him on in.
Well, I don't know. She's flying back from her hometown in Philly, so we'll see. But that'd be interesting.
You get an Uber and you...
Hopefully there's nothing sketchy in the backseat.
Exactly. Don't want to ruin the mood. I wonder, 312-91-7200, does that New Year's Eve kiss mean something to you? Or is it just, it's the passing year, this is Jerry, my husband. Another year with Jerry. Kiss Jerry. Or is it something special? New relationships are also, that's fun.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like the thing. I remember, I have an embarrassing story to tell about a New Year's Eve kiss.
Oh.
When I was really into someone, it was really way too soon. And, like, they were at a party. I was at another party. And I was like, I have to make it to their party by midnight.
Oh, boy.
And I came across as that guy, that weirdo. Because I was young. I was stupid. And I made such a point to make the New Year's kiss that I think we had it. But I don't think I see that person ever again. I think that was the last.
Oh, my gosh. Were they it. Like, what are you doing
I think
here?
They were extremely weirded out. This is, like, 10 years ago.
How far did you go?
Oh, like 7 or 8 blocks.
That's not.
I
bad.
Left my party and then performed the kiss. It was a whole.
What?
I didn't even make it to the party. The guy met me out like on the street corner later on. I was like 22 years old,
right?
And then it was like bye. And then I went back to my party. I was like, well, I don't think I'm seeing that person
wow.
again. So yeah,
yeah, that was a bit of a letdown.
It was a letdown.
You know
so
what?
I had bad experiences.
You are better for it.
Yes,
you
no.
dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
That person seems boring.
312-91-7200. Yeah, they are. They still continue to be boring. I still follow them on Instagram. 312-91-7200. Does that kiss matter to you at midnight? What steps will you go if you're single? What steps can you go across to try and get a kiss? Not creepy ways. We talked about this morning on the Jam about like people will carry mistletoe around with them to try and do that sort of thing. I think that's so weird.
That's someone, where you run away.
Some people set up like a kissing booth.
Nope.
That's weird, right?
I'm out.
I think that if you're trying to seek out the kiss too much, right, it's a little strange.
It's a little too too deliberate.
And the climate these days is where that's just not appropriate anymore, yeah, thankfully so, too. So 312-981-7200, do you care about the midnight kiss? What are your plans on New Year's Eve? Is it just a stay-in night? Are you getting too old for going all out and all that sort of stuff?
And do you have any traditions?
Do you have any traditions?
Because there's some, I got a list here, a list, of course,
okay,
of traditions from around the world.
Right,
so we'll see what, you know, we'll try to match it up.
And any resolutions you might have.
Mm-hmm.
All New Year's talk coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman on the download. We're taking you right up to 11 o'clock. Who's filling in again? Carmen.
Mark Carmen for...
a long time.
14 hours.
Yeah, Carmen's in until till we get back in tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's in until... He's with me until 5 a.m.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long shift. 312-981-7200, talking about New Year's traditions, that night kiss, that midnight kiss. Is that important to you? Do you care? Or do you just give it a hard pass? Also, there's a lot of superstitions out there that people have of starting the new year. I've learned some of them just from friends that I are more superstitious about certain things. I don't have any particular superstitions. Do you do anything superstitious?
I actually do one of these on the list sometimes because
okay,
I was taught to do
this. This
is you do the 12 grapes. And this is mainly in Spain and some Latin American countries. So my grandma, I remember, told me about this. So you eat 12 grapes, one for each month of the year, but you got to eat them as the clock strikes.
Whoa, that's a lot of grapes at once.
Each bell strike at midnight, you got to eat those 12.
That's a lot of grapes in a little amount of time, right?
Well,
I mean, a grape's pretty small.
You know, just knock them back.
Knock back those grapes. Do you do that?
I try.
Could you do it in the form of wine? Just chug wine for those.
That's even better.
I mean, it's right.
Because it's more than 12 grapes.
Yeah, it's grapes. It's the same thing. It's New Year's.
So it's to secure prosperity. So yeah, chug that wine.
Wait, do you really do that still?
Yeah.
So what if do you show up to a party? Do you have like a Ziploc bag of the 12 grapes ready to go?
Grapes.
Everyone just yells grapes and starts eating.
It's a handful of grapes. No one thinks
you're
weird.
I mean, but you bring it to the party?
Mm-hmm.
Just in your purse?
Yeah.
Ready to go?
Yeah. What?
I just think it's so
interesting. You find it so weird. I carry fruit
in
my bag. Add
that to the list of things you find in the back of an Uber.
Yes, right? A bunch of grapes. I would forget. Like, everyone forget, but it'd be like coming close to midnight. I guess I'd be running around trying to find my grapes. Because if you're at a party, everyone's throwing their coats in the
purse.
Other room. Do you have your purse on you the whole time, though? No.
No, you just pocket them.
Okay.
You put two in the front, two in the other one, some in the back pockets. Just don't sit down. It's fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine then. 312-981-7200. Do you do the grape thing or any other tradition that you've heard of or enjoyed? Where does that tradition come from, by the way?
It's from 1909.
Okay.
In Spain, vine growers in Alicante.
Alicante.
They came up with the idea to sell more grapes. Yeah. But it means something.
There's always
a
thing.
It means something.
There's always a thing. All right, what else we got?
Mexico, you wear colorful undies.
On New Year's Eve.
Yes. And they all mean something. So this is Mexico, Bolivia, Brazil. The color of your undies determines the kind of year you're going to have.
Whoa. Wait. What? Why?
All right. So red.
Okay.
Love and romance. Yellow is wealth.
That's
success.
A little on the nose with your underwear, by the way.
What?
Love and romance. All right.
That's
okay.
What?
Hold on. Red is romance.
Yeah. Write these down.
All right.
Wealth and success. Yellow.
Green. Oh. What? Yellow.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay.
Yellow. Gold.
Oh, maybe. There you go. There you
maybe,
go.
Yeah.
Romance.
White
in the pants.
Stands for peace and harmony.
White is peace and harmony.
And then green is for well-being and nature.
Well,
and then in Turkey, they hand out red undies as good luck.
For the evening or for the next year?
For the new year. Which, what, I mean, that first day. Hey.
What happens if you hook up with someone that night and then, like, you can kind of see where they're going? Based on when the pants come off. You're wearing red and they're wearing
green,
you're just like, no.
You join forces.
You combine colors and your undies and
make
it work.
Your love of nature.
What would some other colors be? If you had purple, what would that be? If you got purple undies, what are you hoping for next year?
Oh. What is even,
I don't know.
Barney? That's all I can think of.
I don't know. Purple undies? I don't really know.
Purple.
What about black underwear?
Oh, my.
That, I think, is not romance. That is like, we're getting...
That's dread.
No. Oh, yeah, that's
what?
Death.
I don't know. I
was thinking that meant like you're getting real dirty.
What? Oh, all right.
312, good time to change the subject. 312 says, pin money on you at midnight and don't bring dirty laundry into the new year. So have all the laundry done.
You gotta wash everything? That's a hassle.
Yeah, especially if you're like at a place where you have a shared laundry.
Yeah, what if you're on vacation?
You gotta get it done.
You gotta do it beforehand? I mean, you should.
Right.
Just in case.
So there's kind of an undies you wear. Okay, all right.
Interesting.
What else we got?
Germany, you pour lead. So
Is that a euphemism for something?
No, it's literally they're melting lead.
Really?
You melt small pieces of lead in a spoon over a candle. Can you even do that?
And is the candle even right strong at midnight? Enough? No.
Then you pour the liquid into cold water. The bizarre shapes are supposed to reveal what the year ahead is going to bring.
That's not something that you should be doing after a couple glasses of champagne.
No, that's what you should be doing exactly.
Everyone's got to get out their lead, their spoons,
Let's
and their
melt
candles.
Melt some metal.
So you drop it into cold water, and it takes on an interesting shape.
Right. So if the lead forms a ball, luck will roll one's way.
I see what they're doing there.
Well, the shape of a crown means wealth. A cross means death.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
And a star brings happiness. How are they forming? So, I mean, is it like a cloud?
Specifically, right, yeah. Where I don't
like,
know.
I think that's a, you know,
I think it's a
dog
cloud.
Head.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's a dog head. We're going to get pets this year. This is a big fat zero. I'm going to get fired or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good one.
I like in Denmark, they break plates.
They break plates in Denmark. Okay, how does this work?
So it's you throw plates and dishes against friends and neighbors' front doors. See, I wouldn't take that as a friendly sign.
Yeah.
I'd be like, someone's mad.
Why do you do
someone's
that?
Real mad. It's a bit of a popularity contest. The bigger the pile the next morning, the more friends and good luck you're going to have the coming year.
So in front of your door?
Yeah.
So it's like a compliment to you to get as many.
Yeah, so if you have a big old pile of just broken dishes.
Right.
You're going to have all the friends and luck.
You got to stock up for that, though, you know? You got to like go to like a flea market the weekend before.
Go to the IKEA. Just buy a big old 20
well, that's
pack.
That's new stuff.
But it's so cheap.
Right. That's interesting. Did you ever go out in the streets and bang pots and pans?
No, what?
Yeah, that's what we did.
That's weird.
Yeah, in Downers Grove, every New Year's Eve, when we were kids, we'd run out in the streets and bang pots and pans around right as the clock struck midnight.
I'm busy eating grapes. So.
Did you ever do that, Curtis? Are you from the suburbs?
Like I said, I'm closer to Wisconsin than I am here.
Oh, what do you guys do? Eat some cheese? That was too easy.
I'm not in Wisconsin.
Right.
No.
Have you heard of the banging pots and pans thing?
I've heard of it. I've never done it. My friends, we had pick-up football games on New Year's Eve leading up, not during the night, obviously, but we would play beforehand and then hang out afterwards. And actually, last year, we were actually at that Star Rising thing. That was pretty cool. So that was really the only – we just kind of make stuff up every year. We don't really have a consistent tradition.
You don't have any superstitions to bring good luck.
Yeah. Not when I played sports, I had superstitions.
Right, but
I
not,
have but not for the new year.
Yeah, not for the new year.
You should have done a thing where you had to throw 12 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. That's
there you go.
In one game, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a lot.
Yeah, good luck.
312-91-7200. Pots and pans, I found this one.
Yeah, what is that?
Let's start. It's a fairly normal tradition, according to mensfitness.com, who would, of course, have an article about this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They say people do this as kids. What's the point of banging on pots and pans? To annoy the neighbors? No, it's to long before ghost communications had reality TV shows.
Yeah.
The tradition served as a way to drive away evil spirits.
What about the good ones?
Well, they're going to go home too.
Those pots
and pans are done, but no spirits whatsoever. So, okay, at least it's based in something.
So, did you?
Yeah.
You bang them, all the spirits.
Oh, yeah, we would. I mean, like, we would just go into my parents, into the cabinets where the pots and pans were. We'd all grab either like a wooden spoon and the top of a pan or two pans together. That's when you could really make some noise. Or get like a fork. Obviously, you wouldn't do this with any of the Teflon stuff, but you'd get like a fork and you'd rattle it around in the pot or the pan.
So
you'd go out there for like 10 minutes in the freezing cold
this.
Yeah, you got to bang those pots and pans. A lot of spirits.
Did you do a parade?
It wasn't an organized parade, but we just walked around and just enjoyed it.
And no spirits all that year.
I never see spirits. So
that's why
I kept the tradition going. So if you have any traditions, 312-981-7200, we'd love to hear it.
In Ecuador, they burn scarecrows.
They burn scarecrows.
They build scarecrow-like dolls of politicians, pop stars, or other notable figures to set them on fire.
I've got a couple ideas.
Right?
And you set them on, it sounds like what they do in Oz.
So you're burning the old year It's meant to destroy all the bad things from last year and cleanse for the new year.
And this is in Ecuador?
Yes.
Interesting.
And they're made from like old clothes, newspapers, and all that, you know. Yeah. Good burning.
It's good fuel. Burning material. Yeah, yeah, exactly. 847 texts in that you wash your hands with a silver dollar and it will bring you good luck.
Wait, is there soap still?
There's still soap and water. I think you have the silver dollar in your palms as you're rubbing it around.
And then do you have to do the happy birthday?
What's that? Like to sing the song to make sure you wash long enough?
Yeah,
yeah, probably. 3-2-9-8-1-7-2-0-0. Do you have any traditions out there for the new year? Rob Martier, do you do New Year's Eve? Do you do anything big for the big day? Or you're grown out of that? You just take some maker's mark and you sit there.
It's pretty low key. We're with family and I've got the kids, so yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Do you guys do the pots and pans thing?
Don't do the pots
and
pans
thing. Have you
heard
of that?
No.
Okay.
No spirits in Rob Martier's home.
No, we've got plenty of spirits.
Oh, well, you got to do the pots and pans thing.
I got a whole cabinet full of spirits.
FYI, that's how you get rid of them.
With four kids, you know, I mean, they're noisy enough as it is. Last thing I want to do is give them a wooden spoon and a pot.
312-9-8-1-7-2-0-0.